Why don't you get your Bibles out? We'll make a confession over our Bibles today. All right. Say, this is my Bible. It's God's word to me. And I believe all of it. From Genesis to maps. And I'll receive absolutely everything God has for me today. In the name of Jesus. Praise God. Be excited. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Turn to Proverbs chapter 4. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Good to see you all this morning. Bright-eyed and bushy-tailed. Bright-eyed anyway. Chapter 4, verse 14 through 18, we want to look at in Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 4. Praise you, Lord. I'm going to go in a direction that's got a direction from God. I don't know if I've ever ministered in this in 36 years of pastoring here. We'll see. Tried to go in some other directions, but this is the direction I really sense the Spirit leading me, so I'm going to take you along with me here. Do not enter the path of the wicked. Do not walk in the way of evil. Avoid it. Do not turn on it, turn away from it, and pass on. For they do not sleep unless they have done evil, and their sleep is taken away unless they make someone fall. For they eat the bread of wickedness, drink the wine of violence. But the path of the just is like the shining sun that shines ever brighter until a perfect day. What that talking about is when the sun begins to break in the morning, you have a sunrise, and then it gets brighter and brighter until the full day, which is the way it's supposed to be for the just. The word just is another way of saying the righteous, which is another way of saying us, praise God, who are born again. Now, the word path is used a couple times in here, verse 14 and also in verse 18. A well-trodden road, which implies a course of living and acting. I read a book a while ago by Andy Stanley, Charles Stanley's son, on the road of the path. And basically the theme of the book was, if you're on the wrong road, get off. You know, if you know this road, is the destination that this road is taking you to is not where you want to go, well then, you know, don't stay your whole life on that road. Get off. And he has a long story in the book where they him and a buddy of his got on the wrong road and ended up in a swamp or something. I don't know. But, you know, we've all done that in a natural setting. We have, in our car, we have a Garmin, a GPS. And I think it was when Diane and Wendy and Bill went to Christmas, what's it called? Village down in Pennsylvania. And before we got there or on the way back, we wanted to get something to eat. So you go there and the food, and it said Lone Star. Well, Lone Star was one of our favorite places before it closed down in Albany. So we thought we'd go there. And you know, Garmin starts sending you, turn this way, this way. Then we're getting closer and closer. And we get there, and all it was a parking lot. Well, apparently there was a Lone Star there at one time, but it wasn't there anymore. It would have been nice to know that the destination that we were looking for was not there, not at the end of that. And, of course, you know, we get a kick out of Garmin because if you don't go the way that she wants you to go, it's recalculating. I think a lot of life is recalculating. But when you know it's taking you somewhere you don't want to go, obviously you want to get off that road. Take a look over at Ezekiel chapter 3. That better? Okay. Verse 18 and 19. God was speaking to one of the prophet here in the Old Testament, and he said, Ezekiel 3:18, when I say to the wicked, you shall surely die, and you give him no warning, nor speak to warn the wicked from his wicked way. Notice, to save his life, that's what God's about. That's what God's about. The same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at your hand. Yet, if you warn the wicked and he does not turn from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but you have delivered your soul. When the Lord gives a message, needs to be delivered. Not that I have such a negative message this morning, but when it comes down to the path for our life, the general path for our life, there really are only two different destinations. You know, we could say heaven or hell, or I'm going to be a little more specific than that. And I'm hopeful that all of you are on the right road, or after the right destination. But every once in a while, we got to stop and take a look at this and say, you know, am I going the right way or not? Amen? No judgment. Let's go to the New Testament, Revelation, book of Revelation. One of Pastor's pet peeves is not Revelations, it's Revelation. We all have our pet peeves, what can I say? First, chapter 20, starting in verse 11. Revelation 20, 11. Then I saw a great white throne, and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works, by the things which were written in the books. The sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them, and they were judged, each one according to his works. Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire, and this is the second death. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Anyone not found in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Notice it talks about in verse, 12, it uses the word works, and in verse 13, it uses the word works. The meaning of that word, if I can get this to turn. Can't make this page turn, right? Let's try the next page here. It's the word ergon, you know, like ergonomics and all that good kind of stuff. Business, employment, that which anyone is occupied, any product, whatever, anything accomplished by hand, art, industry, or mind. When it comes to, and there's a, how can I want to get us to look at this correctly. It's not about this. The Great White Throne is about people who are not born again. Their names are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Amen? Y'all are quiet this morning. So this idea of works is not, it really doesn't come down to the sins in general that got them there. I think what this works is about is they're going to, you know, people have excuses. Not any of you, of course, no, but people have sometimes excuses, and I don't know if there's going to be any way to talk to God about it at this great white throne. You know, somebody's yell out, I don't deserve to be here, and all that kind of stuff. And I think that when these works are reviewed, they'll know. But there's really only one thing that gets you there, and that's what you do about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. That's the question of the ages. If somebody shows up on your front porch, what you want to know is what is about Jesus? What's their philosophy about Jesus? If they think he was just a good man, move on. Unless they'll let you talk to them. In fact, there's a scripture in New Testament that says, don't let them in. Don't even let them in. If they're gonna come in and try to tell you about some other way than Jesus, because he is the way, the truth, and the life. He's the door, and you don't get in any other way. And it's not being nasty, and it's not being whatever that we're accused of these days. You know, there's a lot of what's the word that's used a lot of. Got to get along with everybody. And it's true, you know, we need to be loving and so on, but when it comes to that, it's Jesus or no one. It's not Muhammad. It's not some prophet. It's this, you know, he's Jesus, the only one that died for our sins, raised for our justification. He's the only one. So everyone who's not accepted Jesus is going to be at that great white throne. And you know, God won't make any mistakes. Nobody will end up there that shouldn't have been there, or vice versa. You know, it's God knows what he's doing. And so this is not where you want to end up. And you know what? God doesn't want us to end up there. It's not God's will for people to end up there, but that's the destination. God protects people's right to end up there if they want to. In fact, what's his name? Hilton Sutton was talking about, you know, how heaven and hell, those kind of things, and he said God even tries to make it hard for people to go that direction. But he called it barbed wire fences, makes it difficult. It's gonna hurt if you keep trying to go that way. He's gonna try to get our attention if we try to go that way. But in the long run, we can choose. If we want to, but you wouldn't want to. You don't want to end up that direction. Back in chapter 3 of Revelation, it says, he who overcomes shall be clothed in white garments, and I will not blot out his name from the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. This is my opinion. But I think God has a positive attitude towards human beings in a general way. My opinion is when at conception, our names get written in the book of life. And what we want to do is not get them blotted out. If you don't accept Jesus as Lord and Savior in your lifetime, before you die, names blotted out. But I have this feeling that God's taking a positive attitude towards it, and names written there, and when they pull that book out, your name will be in there. Still in there because you accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior. That's the one question. I believe the only unpardonable sin is, did you accept Jesus or not? Didn't accept Jesus, unpardonable. Everything else, pardonable. Sell drugs to kids, still pardonable. Kill people, pardonable. Not something you want to do, but still pardonable. But not accept Jesus, got to do something about that. And God made it easy. Believe in your heart, God raised him from the dead. Confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord. And you will be saved. Amen? Now, let's look at the other side of the picture. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Thank you, Father, for Jesus. You can't even imagine if there was no choice, if there wasn't that choice to be made, if we were already just all destined to be dead in our sins, all destined for that great white throne. Talk about, you know, depressed people now. That would be depressed. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 10. Now, according to the grace of God, which was given to me, this is Paul saying, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it. For no other foundation can one lay but that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. He is the foundation. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, or straw, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire. And the fire will test everyone's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive reward. But if anyone's work is burned, he will suffer a loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so as by fire. Now here it uses the same word in verse 14, 15. The word work, ergon, that same definition of what we're about, what we're producing, the industry that we're about, even of our minds and so on. That I don't know how this, whether there's a DVD being made for each one of us as we go through life, and it's going to be shown. But again, this is not the criteria for whether you're before this throne or not. It's not about based upon what you did in that sense, but again, is Jesus Lord of your life? And if he is, then there's this is the throne that we stand in front of. This is the judgment seat of Christ, that's called the Bema judgment also, where, one way or another, let's put it this way, one way or another, you're going to stand before Jesus. But you want to stand before Jesus knowing that he's Lord of your life. And this judgment, notice, is about, in verse 15, if anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so is by fire. So all the things that are produced through our life that aren't in line with God's will for our life are going to be in this pile of wood, hay, and straw. And poof, they'll be gone. I think there's going to be a lot of people surprised. Don't you think? I think, boy, I did some good stuff. But I think it's, and I don't know if it's the, again, my opinion, I don't know if it's as much what we did, but as much as it is the motive that we did it in, the thing that was behind that, whether we wanted to produce something for ourselves or whether, actually, what doesn't it really come down to? Love. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and love your neighbor as yourself. And when that's the motive behind things, because if you read 1 Corinthians 13, before it comes to listing, love is kind, love, it says, if I do all these great things and don't have love, it's nothing. So imagine a big pile. Look at what I did. Poof. Gone. When I think about that, I think it must have been the 60s. Wow, long time ago. Am I old enough to? I guess I am. My brother and I were the only two home. If any of you were alive way back then, you remember there was a blackout in the whole East Coast. And 9 months later, a lot of kids were born. But that was another story. Don't know what that has to do with it, but anyway, my brother and I were home, and all of a sudden the lights went out, and we ended up our parents' apartment was down in the basement, and it was dark, and so we're stumbling around trying to find some light. I think we found a candle, and so we're looking around trying to find a flashlight. And the way our apartment was set up, he came in, and this was my sister's in between my brother and I. He's 5 years younger than me, and she's just less than 2 years. And she, you come into the apartment, and that was her bedroom. It was just out in the open, but she had a big closet. So we opened the door, and we're looking in her closet, and she was in high school then, and she had a couple of, remember pom-poms? They still call them that? It's a long time ago. I don't know. Made of crepe paper, I guess, or something like that. So there were a couple of them up there. My brother's always, kind of, my brother's my brother. What can I say? If you get this tape, Dave, sorry. So he helped, he was, you know, shining around to see what was in there, and he said, pom-poms, I wonder if they're flammable. Poof. And then it was dark again. So I found my way over to the sink, and there was a pan in there, and poured some water and coming, and then I think I dumped it on him because when Tom, you don't want us to be firemen. We wouldn't be good. But that's if you can picture that, just it's there and it's gone. A lot of things that we do that we might even feel like we're proud of are just not going to be there anymore, because we need to be doing everything in the right motive, in the right atmosphere, with the right things in mind. And you know, life is going on. There's a tendency to have good intentions, but not really get at the things that we really intended to do. I'm guilty. I've been guilty of that. We don't know when it's going to be over. The promise of the word is he satisfies with long life and shows us his salvation. But you got to believe for that, because the world system is set against us, and the God of this world is set against us and trying to take us out. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. False teachers, all those things. You know, in the last days, you've read 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy. Not good times to be living in that sense. And yet, for us, we go back to the scripture that we started out with. It says that it's like the dawn, and then it gets brighter. But you got to believe. That's for believers. Amen? So it's the things that we're after. Now, go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse 21, probably have this underlined already, last verse there. For he made him to be sin who knew no sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. For he, God, made him, Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, become sin, that we would become righteous, the righteousness of God in him. I bring that up because the last verse there we were reading in 1 Corinthians said they'll be saved, yes, though as by fire. They'll suffer loss, but they'll be saved. It's not about sin. It's not a judgment against sin. It's about rewards, because sin has already been judged. I was reading one of the commentaries, and there's a King James Bible commentary, and they list seven different judgments. I don't know if I agree with all of that, but one of the judgments they listed was the judgment of sin, and sin was judged in Jesus. When he hung on the cross for us, when he went to hell, that was when God judged sin. So we don't have to stand before him and be judged for you told a lie, you know, you did yell at somebody, you stole something off a shelf, all those things that we may have done wrong along the way that are sin, and sin will still hurt you. But when we stand before Jesus at the judgment seat of Christ, it's going to be more about motives, about what do we produce, what do we get done for God, and the basis of that is going to be rewards, because what we want is gold, silver, and precious stones that can stand the fire. You don't want a whole life full of gold, full of wood and hay and straw. It's gone. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Rewards. Not whether you make heaven or not. You've already made heaven by the time you stand before Jesus. Whether it's because the rapture has happened or because you've died and gone out of here, standing before Jesus. When you know that you're going to just stand before Jesus at the judgment seat of Christ, it's a lot better than thinking, hope I don't end up in the great white throne. My mom is 85, going to 86 soon, and she keeps saying, I don't know why I'm still here. She's so ready to go. I know why, because she's the prayer warrior of the family. She's holding up the family in prayer. If you hear this, Mom, sorry. She wants to go. She's not dreading it. She's ready. Because she'll have some rewards too. Praise God, because she lived her life for others, because she loves God with all her heart, and she loves her neighbor as herself. And when you know that that's the destination, then you have nothing to fear. Then death, where is thy sting? Grave, where is thy victory? You can not fear, have no fear of that at all. Then you know the scripture, Psalm 23, walking through the valley of the shadow of death. That's not really about how bad death is. There's a lot of death in this life. When you're still alive, there's a lot of death around. But in the midst of all that, he prepares a table before us in the presence of our enemies. Our cup runs over. Goodness and mercy follow us all the days of our life. Amen? But you got to know where you're going. You got to be known that you're on the right road, and that your vehicle's working well, producing the right things. Judgment seat of Christ, and you receive for the things done in the body. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 4. Verse 8. Paul said, and this is at the end of his life physically, finally there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me at that day, on that day. And not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Appearing is a word in reference, in my opinion, to rapture. Not second coming. I believe it's gonna be the rapture of the church, the tribulation, and then at the end of the tribulation, second coming. And I want to go on the first trip. He's coming. I want to go with him. Amen. So when you know whatever your theories are on that, he's coming. And when he comes, we want to receive. We want to stand before the judgment seat of Christ and have him say, well done, good and faithful servant, and receive crowns. And one of those crowns is the crown of righteousness. Boy, and talk about one that we don't deserve, because we just read that our righteousness is his because of his righteousness. The prophet Isaiah recognized our righteousness, filthy rags. His righteousness, pure right standing with God, things as they should be, that he gives to us because we receive Jesus as Lord and Savior. And we get a crown for that. Talk about a deal. James chapter 1. Verse 12. Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Another crown. I don't know what these look like, but I imagine that they're good. Amen? You know, if we're going to a place where the streets are made with gold, what must the crowns be like? Worth staying in it, staying at it, isn't it? Worth keeping a good attitude in the midst of bad attitudes all around. Worth not giving up. Worth staying with it. crowns. 1 Peter chapter 5. Verse 1. The elders who are among you I exhort, Peter said, I am a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion but willingly, not for dishonest gain but eagerly, nor as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory as dawn fade away. And I know that's most specifically talking about those in what we call a full-time ministry, I guess. But we're all in ministry, aren't we? Aren't we all called?
Amen. Amen.
Praise God. And there's a crown of glory. Now, when you think about that, I want to stand before Jesus at the judgment seat of Christ, the beam of judgment, and hear, well done, good and faithful servant, and receive a crown for this and a crown for that, because we didn't quit. Some of you are going through a difficult time now, but you're not going to quit. You're not going to quit. Some days are harder than others, but you're not going to quit.
Amen.
You're going to keep a good attitude. You're going to not think just about yourself and whether you can make it through, but think about the people around you and serve God. Love your neighbor as yourself. And you're going to receive crowns. And as you do, bring it to Jesus. Bow down before him. And give them all back to him. Say, it's only because of you. You're the only reason that I have any crowns. You're the only reason that I have a righteous crown. You're the only reason I have a crown of life. You're the only reason that I have a crown of glory. Whatever else there is, it's all because of him. Someday, according to what Paul said, every knee will bow, every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of the Father. Some by compulsion, but we get to do it willingly. It's all because of you, Lord. It's all because of you. Let's worship him.